For the first time, Governor Phil Scott is proposing some tax increases as part of his budget proposal, and he's also pushing for a tax cut on the estate tax, which is mostly paid by wealthy residents. Governor Scott delivered his annual budget address to the legislature today, and here to talk more about it is VPR State House reporter Peter Hirschfeld. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Henry.
So as Governor Scott noted, the state has a surplus for the first time in many years, as he said. So why now of all years is he choosing to propose some increases in taxes and fees?
It is a fascinating time, isn't it, for the governor to break from this hard stance that we've seen in previous years against any new taxes or fees. But Phil Scott says there are some compelling policy reasons for moving forward with some tax and fee increases. The governor wants to increase taxes on e-cigarettes, for example. This is less about generating new revenue, though, I think, than it is about curbing demand for a product that is being used more and more by younger Vermonters. Economic theory says if you raise the price of e-cigarettes, fewer people will use them. And Phil Scott says Vermont can use tax policy to achieve that result. And the other two proposed tax increases aren't really as much about creating new taxes as they are about making certain sectors pay taxes that already exist. We all already pay sales tax on things we buy at the store. Well, the governor wants to collect sales tax from online purchases as well. And there was a Supreme Court decision last year that paved the way for states to collect those revenues. And the governor says if Vermont does that, we can bring an estimated $7 million into state coffers annually. The other proposed tax increase is actually to make sure that online hotel booking sites are paying the rooms tax on the fee that they charge customers for facilitating those bookings. Right now, that fee isn't generally subject to the 9% rooms tax. Phil Scott says it should be.
Okay, and that's things like Airbnb?
You got it. Yeah, booking.com I think is another big one.
Yeah. So Phil Scott is also pushing for a tax cut, as I mentioned earlier, on the estate tax, and that would raise the threshold for when that tax would kick in for wealthy Vermonters. At the same time, he wants to use funds from the estate tax to pay for clean water projects. Can you explain what his argument is here?
So let's break those issues apart, Henry, because there's a lot in there. Yeah. And let's start with the estate tax cut. Right now, when somebody dies, Vermont taxes their estate only if the value of that estate exceeds $2.7 million. What Phil Scott wants to do is raise that number to $5.75 million. And he says there's actually some really good reasons to do so.
Vermonters impacted by this tax are well advised from tax professionals, and they are highly mobile. If we can come together, this change will help keep more of these taxpayers here and support a legacy of clean, healthy lakes, rivers, and streams all at the same time.
So Phil Scott, as you hear there, says, look, this is a competitive disadvantage, and if we bring this exclusion up to $5.75 million, we'll be on par with New York or Maine, for example. On an almost entirely separate front, though, Phil Scott wants to start using estate tax revenues to fund clean water projects. Vermont needs to spend about $2 billion over the next 20 years to complete required water quality improvement projects. And the governor says estate tax money can fund a sizable chunk of that bill. Lawmakers say the problem with that plan is that those estate tax revenues are paying for something else in state government right now, presumably. And their first question is, well, what are we not going to be paying for now if those revenues get redirected? The governor says he's figured out a way to reallocate those funds without eroding other government services. But I talked to a number of lawmakers today who are skeptical, to say the least, about whether that's really going to be the case.
Okay, so some skepticism from the legislature, and we should say that both chambers of the legislature now have wide Democratic majorities. How, in general, are lawmakers reacting to the governor's proposals today?
The overriding message I heard was, wow, what a welcome change of tone from Phil Scott. The governor's first two budget addresses had a far more severe tone than we heard today. He used ultimatums and edicts to set the stage for the legislative session to come and spoke to lawmakers in an almost chastising tone about the need for fiscal responsibility. In those previous budgets, we should also remember, included some pretty dramatic and controversial proposals to curb spending in the public education system. Today, lawmakers said they heard the Phil Scott they remembered from his days in the legislature, the nice guy who liked to reach across the aisle, consider everyone's ideas, not just impose his will. Are Democratic lawmakers going to have problems with elements of the governor's proposal? Absolutely. And that debate will probably be pretty fierce. But both House Speaker Mitzi Johnson and Senate President Tim Ash said this is a budget proposal they can work with. And they say there's a lot of optimism right now in terms of being able to work with the governor, even if they won't always agree.
In just 30 seconds, Pete, if you had to choose one or two things that the governor said today that you think really might get some traction in the state house, what would those be?
If you're a consumer of e-cigarettes, Henry, maybe think about loading up on supply soon because lawmakers are very receptive to his call for a higher tax on those. Also hearing a lot of support for using $1.5 million in Volkswagen settlement money to subsidize purchases of electric vehicles.
That's VPR State House reporter Peter Hirschfeld. Thanks so much.
Good to be with you.